Daf is Daf Yud Beis. So we are in the middle of a very interesting, a little complicated conversation. The Gemara is talking about when you use something, you wear something that's simply there in place to avoid getting dirty. So the Gemara said if the Zav is carrying a kiss so it doesn't get dirty, the Gemara wanted to suggest that won't be considered Hotzah on Shabbos. And the Raya was from a completely different area of Halacha when it comes to water and the Shiva Mashkim, that has to be something Bechiyutan, something that you want. So what does that mean? So if you have a plate or a bowl that you were putting on the wall to prevent the wall from getting dirty, so then the halacha was any water that was caught in the bowl wouldn't be a problem of chiyutan. That would not be water that would be chasha because you don't really, it's simply there to prevent getting dirty. So just like by water and the shiva mashkim, if it's there simply to protect something from getting dirty, it's not considered something considerable. So by Hilchos Shabbos, by a zav carrying the kiss, to avoid himself from getting dirty, that too, the halach would be that it wouldn't be considered carrying. So the Gemara now, on the very top of Yud Beis Amin Aleph, says, top line, the last two words, it says, Mi Dami, could you compare the halachas of Shabbos, halachas of Tumah? Hasam, when it comes to the bowl protecting the wall, Lo Kabay Luhu, Lani Mashkim Klal. You don't want the water at all. The water has no purpose at all. It's simply there, the bowl is simply there to prevent the wall from getting dirty. But Hacha, kiss. But here the Zav does need the kiss. He needs to hold the kiss. He needs to catch any of the ziva that's emitting from his body, so he needs the kiss. By the water, you don't want the water. You might want the bowl, but you don't want the water to be there, so water is completely irrelevant here. But here, the Zav needs to wear the kiss so he doesn't get dirty, and therefore you can't compare the cases of the Bichiyutan to the case of a Zav. Ella, if you want to find the case that's comparable, if you want to compare the halachas of Tumah to Hilchos Shabbos, you need to look to the Seifa. Ella, halo dami ella le Seifa. What's the Seifa? Shenasna sheyered dila, areva, shenasna sheyered delef. You have a bowl that you place down in order to catch a drip from the rain. Letocha, anything that's inside of it, the water catches it, catches some water in the pail. And there's maim hanitazim, and there's some water that kind of ricochets outside the pail. And v'hanitzafim, and when the pail fills up, there's some water that overflows. Einan b'chiyutan, that water that's ricocheting, that's nitazim, or the water that's nitzafim, that's overflowing, those waters are einan b'chiyutan. But shebesocha, that water which is being caught in the bowl or being caught in the pail, that is considered harezeh b'chiyutan. So we see from here, even when you have something set up, like a pail or a bowl, to avoid something from getting dirty, we still do acknowledge the water inside as b'chiyutan. It's something that you want. It's something that's chashiv. So now the question becomes, if by the case of b'chiyutan, even though the whole purpose of the pail is to avoid it from getting dirty, yet still we recognize the water as being something chashiv, so too by the case of the Zav, even though the only reason why the Zav who saw the Shlosh Rios, the reason why he wears a kiss is simply to prevent his clothing, still that should be considered chashiv, just like the case of the pail, the water is considered something significant to prevent it from getting dirty, and it should be chayv hotza by the Zav. So the Gemara says, you're right. Both of them hold lo kasher. There is no contradiction. Harib Yehuda, Harib Yishum. I believe this is the first time we're seeing this machlokus in the Masechta, but there's a well-known machlokus throughout all of Shas, and really Hilchos Shabbos here, when it comes to Mlacha Sheinetzricha Lagufa, is one Chayiv, there's one Pater. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds Mlacha Sheinetzricha Lagufa is Chayiv, and Rabbi Shimon holds that Mlacha Sheinetzricha Lagufa is Pater. So here we're saying that the one who holds that the Braisa holds that the Zav who's carrying his Pater is because he holds like Rabbi Shimon Mlacha Sheinetzricha Lagufa is Pater. But the other opinion who holds that no, one would be chayiv for carrying this, even though you don't really need the guf, you don't need the kiss, you're just preventing something from getting dirty, that's called a Mlacha Sheinetzricha Lagufa. You don't really need the kiss, and that would be this machlokus Pater and chayiv. Now in general, we assume like Rabbi Shimon Mlacha Sheinetzricha Lagufa is Pater. The Rambam is a unique shita. The Rambam holds Melacha Sheinetzricha Lagufa is in fact Chayiv. Okay, that was a little bit complicated. But now the Gemara says, we're around 8 lines down, the Gemara says, Tani Dibei Rabbi Yishma. Yote Adam, a person, Yote Adam B'Tfilin B'Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha. A person is allowed to walk outside with Tfilin on Erev Shabbos. My time. Kevin Dama Rabba Bar Rav Huna Chayiv Adam L'Mashmesh B'Tfilin Kol Shah V'Shah Kavachomer Mitzitz. Because a person always is inspecting his tefillin, he's making sure his tefillin, he's the right das, he's not having a hesech das. And we learn that requirement to check the tefillin, we learn this from the tzitz, so the Kohen Gadol will wear the tzitz in the Beis HaMikdash. And it says, Ma tzitz shein ba'el askar achas, that the tzitz only has one name of Hashem on it, Kodesh LaHashem, it says on the tzitz, going across the forehead of the Kohen Gadol. And it says, Legabri the tzitz, Amr Torah, Vayal mitzcho tamid, that the tzitz needs to be across the forehead all the time. What does it mean, tamid? Tamid is telling us, Shelo yasiach da'it mimenu. The Kohen Gadol can't have a moment where he's not thinking about the tzitz. So he always has to think about the tzitz, even though there's only one Azkara, even though there's only one Shem Hashem. So Tefillin, Sheish Ba Azkara is Harbe. There are many names of Hashem in the parchment of the Tefillin. Achas Kama V'Kama. How much more so should a person have to be Mashmesh and check and always inspect the Tefillin that he's wearing? So Ahilchach Mid Chardachi Lo, since a person's always checking his Tefillin, therefore there's no concern here at all. He'll know to take it off before Shabbos. Now there's an interesting din here. There's a tshuva, there's a din of the Rush in Maseches Brachos. He says the requirement to check tefillin is not really a requirement. It's the opposite. You can't be Mesiach Daito. You can't forget that you're wearing tefillin. But not that you have to always proactively check. So they ask a question. They all ask in the Rush. But the Rush really holds that the din of tefillin is you just can't forget about it, but you don't have to proactively remember. This Gemara here, which appears several places in Shas, clearly says that you have to be mishmashashmesh. You have to always check for the tefillin, so you have to be proactive about it. So with the Darach Moshe, the Ramaz comments on the tour in the Darach Moshe, what he says is that no. Of course the Rush says you can't be Mesiach Daito. When the Rush says that you don't have to constantly think about it, you just can't have Kal's Rosh, the Rush says. But you don't have to proactively think about it. But since there's always a requirement to make sure there's no kalos rosh when you're wearing tefillin, you're not doing something that's inappropriate, that's considered enough of a recognition, enough of a constant recognition, and therefore that would be consistent with this tzitz. So again, the Rush is you don't have to have constant recognition, you just have to have constant awareness not to have kalos rosh, not to have something that's inappropriate while wearing tefillin. Back inside the Gemara now, the Gemara says as follows. Tanya, Chananya, Omer, Chayv Adam L'mashmesh Bebigdo, Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha. That person needs to check his clothing, all his pockets, before he walks outside Shabbos. And Amar Rav Yosef, Hilchos HaRabasi L'Shabbos. This is a very important halacha of Shabbos. It was said about the Gra, that when the Gra would check his pockets Erev Shabbos, he would like learn all of Masechah Shabbos, all of Hilchos Shabbos. And I don't think it's because he had a lot of pockets, and even if he did have a lot of pockets, that still is an incredible feat. But that's what's said about the Gra. And the reason is, based on what we said the other day, that because we're talking about a place where there's no Erev, the person walks out on Shabbos, he could be violating a Hotzah. So you always have to inspect your pockets before Shabbos begins. The Gemara now says, we had in the Mishnah yesterday, one of the dinim, lo yifale as Caleb, a person cannot remove lice. If he has lice on his clothing, he can't take it off. So on Shabbos. So what's going on? So the Gemara wanted to clarify the point here. We have to look back at the Mishnah just for a second to see what was going on there. If you look back on Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, the Mishnah had said two different dinim. It says, Lo yifale es kelav, you can't remove the lice from your clothing. And it also said, V'lo yikari le'or haner, you also can't read a candle by, you can't learn by a candle. So the Gemara wants to know now, back inside Yud Beis Amud Aleph, halfway down the line. Ibailu, Lo yifale es kelav b'yom, Shema yaharo, V'rebi Eliezer hi, that person cannot remove the lice during the daytime. What does that mean? Because you might end up killing the lice. Rabbi Eliezer, he the Tanya, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, ha-hori kina b'shamas ki lahori gamal. That the din is that you can't remove lice anytime, whether it's nighttime or daytime on Shabbos, because you might end up squashing the lice and killing the lice. And Rabbi Eliezer is the one who holds, I don't care what size an animal it is, whether it's a very sophisticated animal and a big animal like a gamal, where it's a very simple, small animal like a kina, there's a violation of shechita, of shechting, or killing an animal on Shabbos, regardless of the size and the type of animal. So it's saying that when it comes to the din of removing the lice, it's usur to do on Shabbos, lest you come to kill it. And then as a separate point, nothing to do with removing lice, v'lo yikari or l'oraner, shema yata. Because then there's a second reason, a second halacha, completely independent, that you can't learn by a candle on Shabbos, because you might end up adjusting the flame, and that's going to cause the oil to move, it's going to cause the flame to be adjusted, that's going to be a violation of Havara. So are we saying the din of removing the lice and the din of learning by candle are two different halachas? O Dilma Tervayu Shema Yata, or perhaps they're both about Shema Yata. Maybe even when it comes to the checking of lice, it's not a question of killing the lice. If you were to check the lice Balayla, nighttime, You can't see. You need a candle. So just like you're using a candle to learn, and you're so too using a candle by the lights, the same concern should be relevant. But the implication of the second side of this shaila is, but if the din would be to the check during the daytime, where you don't need a candle to check lice during the daytime, then Shemiyata wouldn't be relevant, and maybe you would be allowed to check the lice during the daytime. And maybe he wouldn't be concerned of killing the lice. So again, what comes out to be, everyone agrees that the reason why you can't learn by a candle is Shemayati, my turner. The question is that the same reason by checking lice and be limited only to not checking at nighttime when you use a candle, but by Yom it would be permitted? Or no, by checking lice is a completely different reason, lest you come to kill the lice, and that would be us or Bain by Yom, Bain Belai. That's the Shiloh. So the Gemara brings a Raya, Tashma, Ein Polin, Vein Korin, Leorhaner. It lumps them together and says you can't check lice and you can't read by the candle. So seemingly this is the same reason. They're lumped together. And the Gemara says, Mi alima mi masnisin. Is this Brisa any better than the presentation of the Mishnah? There's nothing different about the Brisa that our Mishnah didn't say. There's no riot from this either way. Just because it puts them next to each other doesn't mean that the same reason is the underlying reason. So the Gemara moves on quickly from that Brisa. So then the Gemara says, Tashma, Ein polin l'or haner, v'ein Korin l'orhaner. So here we have separate statements here. It says ain polin l'orhaner is one point. It says don't check lice using a candle, and also ain korin l'orhaner, also don't read. Hare elu min ha'halachos shamru ba'aliyas Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Garn. These are some of the halachos that were learned in the attic. They used to learn in the attic oftentimes. We'll see Gemara later on in the second parak, where many takaras were made in the attic. They learned in the attic of Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Garn. And we see clearly Shema Mina, the Tavayu Shema Yata Shema Mina. We see from this Brisa that since it says Or HaNer separately, once by Polin and once by Korin, we see clearly that they're both about Or HaNer. And we can conclude that the reason why you can't check lice on Shabbos is because you might end up turning and adjusting the candle. Therefore, it'd only be Aser Balayla. But by Yom, it'd be permitted to check lice on Shabbos. Okay, Gemara now says as follows. That Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Afilu Lahavchin Bein Bigdo LeBigdo Ishto, a person even to use a candle to inspect between his clothing and his wife's clothing would be problematic as well, because you might Shemayat, you might end up turning the candle, adjusting the candle to see better, and therefore it would be Aser. So interesting question. The Rav Yashav asked a question. So why is it only a concern of a Gezerah of Shemayat? Why isn't the din of being mavchin bein bigdol lebigdo isho, why is it not a problem of boher? You have a pile of clothing, you're trying to find your clothing versus her clothing, or she's finding her clothing but not his clothing. Isn't that a violation of boher? And Rav Yashav says it must be a situation where you want to use it miyad. We know with a number of different things required to allow for boher on Shabbos, ochel mitoch psoles and biyad and miyad. So if you're trying to take the good from the bad, and you're using your hand, you're not using a specialized utensil, and you're using it miyad immediately, then borer would be permitted. So this must be a case where it's miyad, so borer isn't relevant. The only relevant question here is, since you're using a candle, shemayate would be why one would not be able to be mavchin ben bigdo lebigdo ishto. It comes along back to the Gemara. Amar Rav, Rava says, lo amrin ela divnei mechuza. There's only chum b'nei mechuza of a b'nei chaklisa, miyad yada, they know the differences. So what does that mean? So if you look at Rashi, last three lines, narrow lines, Rashi explains as follows. He says that b'nei mechuza mifanke v'lo avdi amalacha. They were very well-to-do. They didn't work. They stayed home. U'bigdeim rechavim kishal isha v'tzricham in. Apparently the clothing, when a person was more comfortable, they had clothing that was loose, more like robes and sat back. You know, when you were busy doing work on the farm, you couldn't have clothing that was too long and too loose because that would get in the way of the work. So you'd have to wear tighter clothing, shorter clothing when you're going out to work. But in B'nai Bechuza, they didn't work so much. They had clothing that were comfortable, like women's clothing that were very comfortable and wide and loose. So therefore, in B'nai Bechuza, Dafka, where they need to use a candle to be able to distinguish. But when it comes to the B'nai Chaklisa, the Gemara says, Miyad Yad, the people know the difference. And Rashi explains what they know. Miyad Yad, they should big deha anashim k'tzarim. She'oskim besadas memelacha. The men's clothing were shorter, they were tighter when they would work out in the field to be farmers. The chol nashim rechavim bati yad and shalhen, and the women's clothing were different. So it was easy to tell the difference. So in B'nai Chaklisa, you wouldn't have a problem. You knew who the difference between the two. So there, you know, even using a candle wouldn't be so much a shaila. You don't need to use a candle so much to tell the difference of B'nai Chaklisa. This is only true in B'nai Mechuza. And the Gemara qualifies further. The B'nai Mechuza, nami lo amrin ela dezekenos. There's also only true b'nei mechuz when it was aser, when it comes to the clothing of the elderly. Aval the yaldas miyal the other. When it comes to the younger children, the younger ladies there, it was understandable. Apparently, the zakenos, the older woman, Rashi explains, would wear shorter clothing as well, and therefore it was of concern. But the younger women would wear wider clothing, and it would be very, very different than that of the men. Okay, Gemara now says, Tanu Rabbanan, Brisa says, Ein polin birushis rabim mipnei hakavon. A person is not allowed to start removing lice from his clothing in Rishis Rabbim. Why? Nothing to do with Shabbos, seemingly. It's simply because it's inappropriate. It's Rashi says even b'chol mipnei kavod. It's a disgusting thing to start picking off your lice from your shirt. There's certain things we don't do in front of people. It's just there's such a thing as kavod abrios. So that's something we don't do in public. The Gemara says we find many places just fascinating where the Gemara has a sensitivity where the Gemara talks in many places about that which is derech eret, that which is kavod harabim. So this would be another example. So kayotzi bo in a similar way. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rami Le, others say Rabbi Nechemya said this. Ein osin aktuzin birshus rabim bibnei kavod. This is something similar that we shouldn't do in rishus rabim. What does aktuzin mean? Aktuzin? It's haka, which means to vomit. A person shouldn't vomit or take anything that would cause someone to vomit in rishus rabim. That too would be considered something disgusting. Now the Gemara doesn't have an exhaustive list, but we should use common sense and social norms. What's considered appropriate? What's considered inappropriate to do in rishus harabim? There's certain things a person might be able to do behind closed doors, but when you're in the public eye, there's certain things we have to have respect for others as less to disgust someone. Gemara now says, Tanir Rabbanan Hamafle Eskelev. Now a person is cleaning his clothing from lice, Umolel Vizorik. He has to mole. What's mole mean? So it sounds like Rashi says you kind of squeeze it. Rashi is referring to Shabbos, your three wide lines down. Molel Vizorik B'Shabbos. Molel Lahatish Kochen. You kind of squeeze it. So you weaken the lice, shelo yechazu elav, so it doesn't come back to you, but you can't kill it. Ubavad says Rashi, shelo yimlo bedoha. You can't squeeze it too much, v'yaharog, and end up killing it. The sphere le harigas kina shvus. That killing a kina, although it might not be a din deraisa, it still would be an isser midirban to kill a kina. There's a machlokas, as we mentioned before, we alluded to before, when it comes to killing an animal, lezachiv deraisa. When it comes to killing an animal, a simple animal, such as a kina, a lice, that would only be a dinder abundant according to some, while others think it's a dinder ice. So this first opinion holds that what you should do is, hamafla, back inside the Gemara, hamafla es kelev molel vizorik, a person should squeeze it and throw the lice away, ubavad shelo yarug, don't kill it. Now I imagine that's a very hard thing to do. I have no experience in this, but those who are able to do that, that's what they should try to do. And comes along in the Brisa to quote Abba Shaul Omer, no tell vizorik, you should take it and throw it, ubavach lo yimla. He says you shouldn't actually try to weaken it, because what might happen there is, if you end up killing it, that's going to be a chiv chates, according to Abba Shaul. So you shouldn't even get in that parsha of trying to squeeze it. Just take it gently and throw it away. So Amar Rav Huna halacha, molel vizorek, vizel kvodo vafilu b'chol. The din is a person should squeeze it, molel, and then throw it, and that's the kvodo, that's what a person should do, even during the week, that a person shouldn't kill the animal. So the rabbah, mikhatile rabbah, however, argued rabbah would actually kill the lice, and Rav Shesh is mikhatilehu, and Rav Shesh would do the same thing. Rabbah shadilehu lekanu demaya. Rabbah would throw it into a little pipe of water. And amalehu Rav Nachman lebante, ktulin vashminili kala disan vase. They would say, kill it, and they'd hear some sound of the lice dying. So either way, when it says that Rabbah and Rav Sheshes would kill the lice, were they referring to it with weekday, or were they referring to it in Shabbos? So Rashi says, Mikati Luhu, five lines up from the bottom of the end of the line, Mikati Luhu, Hurgun Ubishabbos. That they said you could even kill them on Shabbos, while before we had said, Abba Shaul says, don't even weaken them. And the Tanakhama says, no, weaken them, don't kill them. Rabbah actually felt you could actually kill the Kina on Shabbos. Tosas takes issue with this, and that last Tosas in the line says, Rabba Makati Lahu Mefarish Riva, B'chol. No, we're not referring to the Shabbos to kill them. This is referring to the weekday. The Koyad the Rav, Huna, the Kamar Zok, Kvod of Afil B'chol. When it comes to the Chol, he says he would kill them. On Shabbos, Rabba wouldn't kill the Kina. That'd be a violation of an Issa Mederabanan. This is referring to the weekday. The Anan, however, says Tosas, Anan Samchina, we rely on Rashi, the Perik B'Shabbos, V'kai Makabesil, the Shar B'Samach, that we're going to see, we passing like Beis Shammai, that you're rather like Beis Hillel, that you're allowed to kill a kina on Shabbos if need be. Now, there's an interesting a separate point here. In general, is one allowed to kill a kina? So it seems from here, clearly, that everyone agrees, behold, you're allowed to kill a lice. The only question was whether on Shabbos you're allowed to kill. So why are you allowed to kill them? Isn't it a problem of tzar balei chayim, just unnecessary killing animals? And Rav Moshe writes that whenever there's a need, whenever the tzar adam, that's not called tzar balei chayim. By me killing an animal, to shechting an animal to eat it, by killing a fish to eat it, there's no tzar balei chayim there because it's a tzar adam. Here as well, to have flies around and having lice around, that's something that's disgusting. It's a kavod brios to get rid of them, and therefore would not be a violation of tzar balei chayim. Okay, the last few lines of the Gemara now. The Gemara says, Tanya, Rashba Omer, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Ein Horgin es Hamacholas b'Shabbos. Hamacholas is also a type of lice. Divrei Beishami, cannot kill them on Shabbos. Beis Hillel Matir, and Beis Hillel says it's permitted. Why is it permitted? Because like we said above, if you look at Rashi, where did Rashi go? Rashi says four lines up, Matirin, kid mefarash time of a perek shmon eshratzim. We're going to learn in Daf Kuv Zayin in a long time from now. We learn that the din of killing an animal is based on an ayah which is a ram which has its own offspring. So it's just like ayalim have its own offspring, so to any other things that are puru. The kina ain't a par rabba elami basar adam he sharetis. But apparently the understanding of how a kina works, not that it reproduces, I don't know biologically how that works and how we understand that, but at least according to Rashi, it doesn't reproduce. Rather, it's something that just develops from the skin themselves. So we don't fully understand it working like that. But I believe it's because maybe they leave the eggs and the eggs end up developing into other kina, something along those lines. Either way, Beis Hillel is of the opinion, this is how we paskin, that you're allowed to kill lice on Shabbos. V'chein, back inside the Gemara, v'chein haya Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, mishum rashbag, ein mishadchin es atinokos laris. You can't set up shiduchim of children on Shabbos. V'lo es atinok lamda sefer. You can't arrange a child to have a Rebbe on Shabbos. You can't deal with those types of business dealings. U'la lamda umanos, or to work about him getting a trade, or going to a college, a university, some type of skill. V'ein menachmin avelim, we don't do nicham avelim on Shabbos. We don't do Bikur Chol on Shabbos. That's all Beis Shammai. But Beis Hillel Matir, Beis Hillel allows all that which we just listed above. So what's the reason behind all of these? So if you look inside Rashi, Rashi says, Ein Mishadchim B'Shabbos. Why did Beis Shammai say you cannot do Shiduchim on Shabbos? B'Shim Mimso Chavsecha. You have to do. You can't do things that are your own Chafatzim. Beis Hillel says, Matirin D'Kasavri Chafatecha L'Chavtze Shemayim. But no, it has to do with the mitzvah. Getting married and teaching Torah and teaching umanos, teaching a trade, teaching parnasa, all these things are necessary. That's called a chef te shemayim. That's a davar mitzvah, and therefore this would be permitted to talk about on Shabbos. Now, why can't you do nichma velim and bikur cholim? Because it's called tsar, and we don't want to create tsar at all on Shabbos. And to do nichma velim and to do bikur cholim would be inappropriate to engender that tsar. But nonetheless, Beis Hillel says this is allowed as well. He doesn't explain why, but seemingly because it's going to provide a certain nechama to the avel. It's going to provide a certain nechama to the chola, and therefore it's going to add some oneg Shabbos to them as well. The Gemara now says last two lines of the Amud here, Tanur Rabbanan Hanichnas, Levaker Sachola, person who goes to visit the sick, the ill, on Shabbos, Omer Shabbos Yimilizok, Refuah Krova Lava. We don't ask for Bakashas on Shabbos, we use a different terminology to say, Shabbos Yimilizok, we don't ask for Tfilas, we just said Shabbos, and Refuah is going to come, but it's not really a Tfilah. That's a kind of a way around it. Rabbi Meir Omer, Yichola Hishetirachim, the Nusach should be that you should say, Shabbos itself will bring rachmanis to a person. And going on to Amud Beis now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hamokim Rachem Alecha V'Alchol Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should provide rachmim on you and all those who are in need. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hamokim Rachem Alecha B'Soch Chol Yisrael, you should include them together, because including the cholo with the other cholim, the zechus of the rabbim is a greater way to provide a refuah. The Gemara then says, Shevna Ish Yushalayim, he lived in Yushalayim. B'knisasa Omer, when you go visit the Chola on Shabbos, he would say Shalom. U'bitziyasa Omer, Shabbos Yimilizok Rufua Krova Lavo Rachama Merubim V'Shivto B'Shalom. So that was his Nusach. So who exactly is Shivna? So Tosis has two days. Shivna, Tosis writes, Ish Yushalayim. Rabbeinu Tamlo Garis Shivna. The Shivna, Rasha. Shivna was a well-known Rasha. V'lo Maskinen B'Shmei D'Shem Rishom Yirakev. We don't use the names of Rishayim. We say they should rot. Ela garsinan shichno with a chaf to have a nami shame on them. We call them shichno, that's what the Gemara is talking about. The Tosafot goes on to say, Venira liri, the shopper garsinan shivno. It could be shivno. What's wrong with shivno? Datu im echad rasha, v'shmo avram, lo nikra v'shem ze acher. So what if there's a guy whose name is Avram and he's a big rasha? Does that mean we'll never use the name Avram ever again? Of course not. So no, what happens is there's one guy, shivno, who might be a rasha, but there might be another guy, shivno, who's not a rasha. Vashkechan the tre shivna havu, and it's possible that the two shivnas. And he goes on to bring rais from sukkim that the two shivnas. So he had no problem using the girsa of shivna. So Gemara now says, Kaman azla hadam Rabbi Chanina mishiyesh lachol b'soch beisat tzarach shiar vienu b'soch chol yisol. That the din is that Rabbi Chanina says when a person has a person who's a chol in his house, he should make sure to be ma'ariv. The chol ravim zelazeh. You should include the chol with the cholos, the rest of b'soch chol yisol. Who holds out that way? Kimo Kurebi Yosi, who says it's important to be kolel everyone together because of the zechus of the rabbi. Even though we allow one to visit the sick and to be menachem avol on Shabbos, it's bekushi, it's with great difficulty that we allowed for this because we don't want to bring about any tsar, but in the end of the day, they understood the necessity for it and the sensitivity to allow for it nonetheless. So the Gemara then says, Amar Rabba Bar Barchana, ki ava azlinam basre, the Rabbi Elazar l'shule b'tficha. When you go after Rabbi Elazar to ask a question with regards to a person who is ill, zimnan amar hamakum yifkatecha l'shalom, v'zimnan amar rachmana yidkircha l'shalom. So he'd always give a bracha at the end, and sometimes he'd use to say the bracha in Lashon Kodesh, in Hebrew, and sometimes he'd say Aramaic, the same exact translation, but just Aramaic. So the Gemara says, how could you do that? How could you use Aramaic as one of the Lashon HaTfilos? V'heichi avad hachi, how is that possible? Don't we have a statement? A person should never make requests to Hashem using Aramaic. Those who do use Aramaic to make bakashos, the malachim are not able to help and bring the tefillah to Kadosh Baruch Hu. They don't know Aramaic. As the Gemara says, it's different when a person is ill. You don't need malachim to bring about the tefillos, because a Kadosh Baruch the Shechina is present by the bedside of the chola. The Amar of Anan, Amar of Minayin, Shechina Soid is a chola. How do you know that the Shechina is sustaining the ill? Shenemar says in the pasuk, Hashem Yisadenu al Eres, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is Yisadenu. He's giving his suda al Eres divai. So Tani Nami Hachad, the Brisa says the same thing. Hanichnas Levakas a chola. You go to visit the ill. Lo yashiv lo agave mita, you shouldn't sit on a bed. Lo agave kisi, not on a throne, on a chair. Ela misatef v'yoshiv lefanov, you have to sit there wrapped in a talus or wrapped in something, a hat maybe. V'bnei sheshchina lemal miroshosav shel chola, because the shchina is resting above the head of the chola. The shchina is present, so you can't just walk around the bed, the sick, the hospital room as if nothing. You have to sit there with covered rosh. Shenemar Hashem yisa'edinu al eres divai. Rava says, Amar Rabban Minayin Shekadosh Baruch Hu Zanis Achola. How do you know again that a Kadosh Baruch Hu sustains, he provides sustenance to the Chola? Shenema Hashem Yisadenu Al Eres Divai. Take a look over for a second at Tosfos Dir Maschil. She'ein Malach Yesharis Makir B'Lashon Arami Levad Migavriya. Gavriya was the one exception that he did know Aramaic. That Gabriel came and taught all 70 languages to Yosef. Of the 70 languages, of course, is Arami, so certainly Gabriel knew, so he was an exception, but all other Malachim did not know Aramaic. The Tema, so he says, Da'afil machshava shebelev kol adam yodim. V'lashon Arami in yodim. Tosis finished off with the Tzorachin. He says, I don't understand. Apparently, the understanding of Tosis, I don't know how Malachim work or what they know, but Tosis was of the understanding that Malachim know even what we're thinking. If they know what we're thinking in Machshava, certainly they should be able to understand Lashon Arami as well, because the Machshava isn't even a language, it's just thoughts. Arami is a language, so Tosis has a hard time understanding, he's missing something, how they can understand their Machshava, but they're not able to understand the Aramaic that we're saying. Okay, the Gemara now says back inside around halfway down the Amud here, Lo yikari la'or haner. A person should not read on Shabbos using a candle, again, shemayatin, lest he come to tilt it. So Amar Rabba, afilu gavoa shtei komos, afilu shtei mardos, afilu asara batam zeh agav zeh. Even if the candle is really high, it's two floors above, it's two mountains above, it's 10 houses high, it's impossible for me to turn it. The din is, we don't allow you to use a candle because it's a low plug. Low plug means across the board. Even though the svar might not be there, it's a low plug across the board. It's an important time to mention And many times the Gemara has reasons for things. But the Meshech Chachma quotes, well known from the Gra, that even though Chazal tells reasons, there's always deeper reasons that we don't understand. And just because Bata Tam, we don't say Bata the Gzera, because there are much deeper meanings behind this. And this comes up in many, many areas. The Pas Shulchan, the Talmud of the Gra, so he explains that the Gra was very makbid on Mayim Megulim. What's Mayim Megulim? So Gemara talks about if you leave water overnight, you shouldn't drink it the next morning because perhaps a snake might leave its venom there and it's going to be dangerous. So Tosa says, well, where we live in Europe, in France, there are no snakes, and therefore you're allowed to have Mayim Megulim the next day. But according to the Gra, no, Mayim Megulim and the snakes were just a reason that we could understand. But there are much deeper reasons in Ruach Ra and other things, and therefore that should still be in place. Mayim Achronim would be another great example, whereby the Gemara says the reason why we have to wash Mayim Achronim is because of Melech Sodomus, because the salt of some stone could cause a person to go blind. But nowadays we don't have Melech Sodomus, so there shouldn't be a concern. There's no need for Mayim Achronim. Yet the Gra and many others were very machped to do Mayim Achronim nonetheless, because there are deeper reasons that we don't understand, aside from that which the Gemara provided. So even though the Gemara says it's about Shemayate, that you might come to turn the oil, so there are reasons much deeper than that point of not using a candle on Shabbos. Though the simple understanding is that it's a low plug. Across the board, we say low plug. Gemara then says, Chad hu de lo likre, hatre shaper dami. So the implication is that a person can't learn by the candle by himself because there's no shomer, there's no one to watch him. But if there are two people who are learning together, so then they'll watch over each other, then they can learn by the candle, share the candle, they'll make sure neither one turns the candle. V'hatani, but doesn't the Braisa say, lo echav lo shayim? The Braisa clearly says one person shouldn't learn by the candle on Shabbos, neither should two people learn by the candle on Shabbos. So Amar Reb Elazar, lo kasha, that's not a stira. Kan binin echad, kan bishnei nyanim. It depends if they're learning together or not. If they're learning together, they're sharing a sefer, they're learning the same topic, so then they're on the same page, literally. And therefore, they'll remind each other. But if they're doing shnei nyanim, they're each doing their own thing, just happen to be using the same candle, so then there would be a concern of one of them turning it because they're not really watching over each other, not really learning together. So the Gemara then says, Amar v'yehuna uve medura afil asar b'ni adam asar. If you're using a big medura, a big bonfire, even if there are 10 people that are there, and then it's going to be a concern. Why? So Rashi explains, because since you're using a medura, they're not sitting right next to the candle. They're sitting far apart from each other, and each person can't watch over the other guy. One guy might end up walking close to the medura and adjusting something. So since everyone's sitting so far away from each other, because the fire's so big and it's able to bring light, and there's some space here, there's social distancing, if you will, so some guy might go over to the flame and adjust it. Therefore, by a big bonfire, it would be us or even with 10 people using it. So Gemara then says, Amar Rava, Madam Chashifu Mutter. The guy's an Adam Chashev, so there would be, he's allowed to use a candle. Why? What's the reason? Because Adam Chashev, even during the weekday, he doesn't adjust the candle. He certs and he learns, and he has a shamish who fixes the candle. He doesn't touch the candle. He doesn't get his hands dirty. So since during the week he doesn't touch the candle, so on Shabbos he's allowed to use a candle as well. So basically, the Gemara asks the question, Lo yikari lo or haner shemayat. The Braisa says that a person shouldn't learn by the candle on Shabbos, lest he come to tilt it. And Amar Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, ani ekra, v'leta. No, I can read it. I won't turn it. So he was confident that he was able to have self-control. Pamach has one time, karo, v'keish lahatos, one time he was learning by the candle on Shabbos, and he wanted to tilt the candle. He was about to tilt the candle, and then he stopped himself in the middle, Baruch Hashem. And Amar, he says, kama gedolim divrei chacham, how great are the words of a chachamim shahayu omrim lo yikari lo ohaner, that they said not to read by the nail, by the candle. Me, I'm a big time chacham. I thought I'd be able to handle it, and I certainly was not able to. When you're in the moment, sometimes you just completely forget, and they were so correct for doing this. So Rabbi Nasan Omer, kara vehita, no, not that Yisrael wanted to, bikesh latos, he said he actually did. He actually did tilt the candle and adjust it. And not only that, did he violate this isser, the kasava pinkasa, he wrote on his little record, Ani Yishmael ben Elisha karasi v'atisi ner b'Shabbos. I read on Shabbos and I turned the flame on Shabbos. And lichshiv ne beis hamikdash, when the beis hamikdash is rebuilt, aviv echatas shmein. I'm going to bring a very fat animal to mechaber for my iser. Amar Rabbi Abba Shaini Yishmael ben Elisha hol meisim atmal divrei Torah keder. No, he was different. He wasn't a regular adam chashuv. I mean, the question here was, we said adam chashuv is allowed to read by the candle because they don't normally do this. But Rabbi Shmuel, was an Adam Chashev, and yet he did. And Gemara says Rabbi Shmuel was different. He would even make some atma a divrei Torah kedio. Even during the week, he wasn't looking for any assistance to help him out. He'd do everything on his own, and he did anything he needed to do to make sure he'd learn Torah. He didn't care about his own kavod, and therefore, if he needed to adjust the candle so he could learn better, even during the week, he'd do this. So Rabbi Shmuel was a different individual, different personality. But a regular Adam Chashev who doesn't normally address the candle, they would be allowed to learn by the candle. Now, an interesting question Tosa asks, whenever you find in the Gemara that a certain tzaddik violated an aveira, he always asks the question. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Makos, in Maseches Chul, and other places that behemtim shel tzaddikim ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevitekala. Al tzaddikim atman lakoshkin, what that means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow the behema of a tzaddik to violate an aveira. And if even the behema won't violate an aveira, certainly a tzaddik himself, a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, won't let him come to an aveira. So how can we have Rabbi Shmuel here? How can we violate the aveira? How is that allowed? He was certainly a tzaddik. And so one of the answers brought down by the Tosfos is that this is true only when it comes to machals asuros, not to eat something that's asur. That's something, machals asuros, although it might not be as severe as other yisurim, as chilul Shabbos, in the end of the day, for a tzaddik to eat something, to consume something in his precious body, that's something a Kadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't tolerate, and therefore only yisurei chila, machals asuros, are subject to this concept that Kadosh Baruch Hu won't allow it to happen. Tosfos says there are other instances where there are seemingly things that are asur that the tzaddikim ate, and the Gemara says, such as Yom Kippur. And so the Gemara says, no, Yom Kippur is an interesting lamdish point. Yom Kippur, when you can't eat, those objects are not considered machal sasura. It's not a chefzah shel isur. You're not eating pig, you're not eating treif. You're eating kosher food, it's just a zman that's asur. We're talking about only things that are be'etzim, that are inherently, intrinsically asur. That's whereby the HaKadosh Baruch Hu ensured that tzaddik won't eat any machal asuros. Okay, the Gemara now says, last eight lines of the daf or so, as follows. Tani Chada, one brisa teaches us that Shamish Bodik Kosis Vikaros Lohaner, that a waiter is allowed to inspect the plates and the cups to make sure that everything's clean. He's allowed to do this. And Vitani Idach Lo Yivdo, he shouldn't check. So is he allowed to check or is he not allowed to check? So the Gemara says, Lo Yikasha, Kamish Shamish Kavua, Kamish Shamish Shena Kavua. Depends whether he's a permanent waiter or not a permanent waiter. If he's a permanent waiter, says Rashi, he should not check. Shamash kavua lo yivdo. Bibnei she'emas rabba lav im yimtza behen davar maguna. Ubotkin yofa v'chashin lahatayah. Because the guy got a job here. He's going to lose his job. So he's concerned that if he's going to lose his job, if he finds something dirty, so he's going to look extra careful. And for him, therefore, don't use the candle because Shema Yat is a real relevant concern. But a shamash is ainu kavua, he just has a one-time job. He's not working tomorrow anyways, so he's not going to inspect so well. Let him use the shema, let him use it. Shema yata is not a concern because he's not going to be so careful in inspecting it. Gemara says, ibai is ainu, alternatively. Ha shamash kavua. No, we're talking about a permanent waiter. Ha v'lokasha ha demashcha ha betanfa. Talking about which type of oil we're using. So Rashi explained, b'denafta shu masriach muter livdok loro til asa lahatas. Certain types of oils, if it's disgusting, he gets his hand all dirty, he's not going to touch it. So if you're not going to touch the candle because the oil is all gross, so then Shema Yata isn't relevant. But using regular mishcha, regular shaman, where a person would normally touch it, then it would be a problem of Shema Yata. Okay, the Gemara now says as follows. Ibarilu shamash shena kavua b'demashcha mahu. What if you have, two opposite cases? One is a shamash shena kavua, so he's a one-time job. So he's not concerned of losing his job because he's not hired for the next day. So Shema Yata isn't relevant. But at the same time, you're using Shemen, and Shemen isn't something that will disgust him. So in terms of the Shemen, he would be willing to touch it. So he'd be willing to touch the Shemen, the candle. But at the same time, he's got no motivation to touch it because he's a Shamash Shena Kavua. So Maho, what's the din in that case? So Amar Rav, Halacha Vein Morin Kain. The Halacha is that Mutter, a Shamash Shena Kavua, even though the candle is a Shemen, he's allowed to use it. Because Shema Yata isn't really relevant, because he's nothing really motivating him to keep his job. But we don't explicitly preach that he's allowed to, because Shlo Yizalzel, we don't want people to be mezalzel this din of using a candle. Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba Amar Halacha Umorin Kain, he says no, Halacha is that he's allowed to use it in this case, and we're even able to encourage people to do this. Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba Ikle Lebei Ravasi, one time Rabbi Yirmiyah was visiting the house of Ravasi. Come Shemaya Kabadik Lenuhura Deshaka. He saw that the waiter was using the candle to check. Amrle Devesa Umarlo Avin Hachi. Amrle Shavke Kirebi Sfirle. He says, are you allowed to do this? Isn't it a problem? He says, not to worry. He holds like his Rebbe, Rebbe Yirmiyah, which was that Rebbe Yirmiyah says, Halacha Kain Umorin Kain, and therefore it was allowed. The Gemara now says, let's just read a little bit further onto Daf Yud Gimel. Just a few more lines, if that's okay. The Gemara says as follows, last three lines of Yud Beis and Beis. The Gemara says that Bemes Amru HaChazen, the Chazen is allowed to use it to check where the Tamidim are up to. So the Gemara says, V'hamers Reisha Roeh, So we had said, the question was that the Chazan's able to see what the Tinokos are up to, but he himself couldn't learn. So he himself couldn't learn. But how much Reisha didn't Reisha say? Ro'eh. So he's able to see where they're reading. My lav likros, isn't he able to see and read? He's able to read with them. So it implies that he could see the Tinokos and read along with them. And then the Mishnah had said, lo yikari, he shouldn't read at all. So can the Chazan read or can the Chazan not read? So lo kasha, of course, is lo, not true. L'sad rashi parshiosof. When he was using the Or HaNer, he wasn't using it to read with the Talmidim. He was using it to see what they're up to. To just see the beginning to the Parsha, just but not to read the whole piece here. So V'chein Amar Rabbi Bar Shmuel, that Aval Mesades Rosh Yosef Parsh Yosef, he's just organizing everything for them, but he's not actually reading with them. V'kula Parsha Lo, so the whole Parsha you're not allowed to read. So Meisiv, the Gemara says the question, Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel Omer, Hatinoko Shabbos Rabban, Hayu Mesadin Parsh Yosef, V'koron Or HaNer. It clearly had said that the children were beside the Parsha Yosef, just like the Rashi Prakim, and they'd also read the entire Parsha. So clearly, they weren't just simply being beside the Parsha Yosef, they were reading the Parsha. So, Ibai Seima, Rashi Parsha Yosef. Really, what it means is when they said that they were, when it says that they were, when they were reading the Parsha, it doesn't mean they're reading the whole Parsha, rather, what it means is that they're just organizing the Parsha. Shiny tinokos hold the amos rabban alem lo asalatzli. So what we're saying here is that in the end of the day, that normally a person cannot read by a candle, but they could just check the say their parshios just to say what they're up to, the order of things. You need to memorize things to make sure the order was correct. But when it comes to the children not only are they allowed to be misat their parshios, but they're even able to read by the Or HaNer. Why? Because since the children were so scared of their Rebbe, they're so scared of the Chazan, they would make sure that they wouldn't turn the candle, and therefore, even reading would be permitted for the children. Okay, we'll stop here, and everyone have a wonderful day.